With the Lord's help, just for a few moments tonight for our meditation, I'd like to draw our attention to verse 32. So Luke 24 and verse 32. And this question of Cleophas and his friend. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Did not our heart burn within us? This is a very beautiful account, isn't it? It's a spring evening. Passover is finished, and two people are walking. They're walking back from Jerusalem, and they're walking the 7 miles downhill to their home village of Emmaus. But though the walk is 7 miles downhill all the way, this is not an easy walk for them. And as we read Luke's Gospel, it's as if we overhear them speaking to each other, full of trouble, full of confusion. But Luke, in a sense, introduces what we might call a dramatic tension into this account. Because we, as the readers, know that this is the very day. I don't know whether you noticed in verse 13, that same day. They went that same day. We know, of course, that it is the day, the evening of the resurrection, perhaps the greatest day that this world has ever seen. The Lord Jesus risen from the dead, having defeated sin and death and hell, as Paul said, declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. But Cleophas and his friend seem confused. All seems darkness. All seems woe. And so we hear them speak, including this in verse 21. We trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. You'll note that they speak there in the past tense. We trusted. It seems as if their hope and their trust is almost gone. They're walking away from the holy city. And it seems almost as if their religion, their hope in this man, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, is behind them. All seems darkness. Nothing seems to make sense. And perhaps for some that is how you feel tonight, whether in your spiritual life, whether in your natural life. Things seem confused. Perhaps things seem dark. You know, these two had not only heard of the crucifixion, they may well have even witnessed it. And of course, as we read, they had received the report of the resurrection. And so it is with us. Across this last weekend, we've heard the accounts, we've read them together. But perhaps they have left us still feeling cold, distant, out of the secret. But you know what changed everything in the lives of these two men? Verse 15. It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. That changed everything for them, and that will change everything for you and for me. And I don't know about you, I love that small word in that verse, himself. Jesus himself. You know, he could have sent a disciple, he could have sent Simon Peter, he could have sent an angel, he could have sent a messenger. but he came himself. Jesus himself. And still, he comes himself to sinners' hearts today. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, he comes and he dwells in our hearts. Jesus himself. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. So the subject for our short meditation tonight is this: the experience of the presence of the risen Lord Jesus in our hearts. And I don't think I'm exaggerating to say it's the great subject, the vital subject, the experience of the presence of the risen Lord Jesus in our hearts. And there's a lot that we could say. I feel every time I come to a prayer meeting, I say we could speak on this for many prayer meetings. Well, it's certainly true of this subject. But as the Lord helps, just two themes, thoughts really, to group our meditation around. First, the effect of the presence of the risen Christ. The effect. And then second, the longing for this presence in the hearts of his people. So then the effect. So we know, as we read this account, we know, of course, that this glorious unknown stranger who joins them on the road to Emmaus is none other than the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. His sufferings behind him, risen from the dead, drawing near and going with them. And he gives them a gentle rebuke as he hears them speak. Verse 25, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart. Fools and slow of heart. So we begin this passage with these two being described as slow of heart, and we end it with them having burning hearts. From slow of heart to burning heart. This is the transforming power of the risen Lord Jesus. But mysteriously, as we read, their eyes were holden. That means their eyes were kept from recognising the Lord Jesus. But then we read, don't we, in verse 30 and verse 31, that as he was breaking bread, so he'd gone into their home, as he was breaking bread, their eyes were opened and they knew him. Their eyes were opened and they knew him. And so it is still, as we meditate on the death of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, his broken body represented in the broken bread, we see in him all of our hope. We see him reconciling us to God. We see him forgiving our sins. Then Cleophas and his friends could say, we trust, not just we trusted, we trust that this is he who has redeemed Israel. And some have wondered, and I don't think it's fanciful, that as the Lord Jesus broke that bread in that simple house, whether they caught a glimpse of the deep wounds in his hands that he'd suffered for them. Zechariah says, doesn't he, they shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Well, there are many, many things that we could say on this point, the effect of the presence of the Lord Jesus in our hearts. Because it will have an effect. It will change us. It will make us heavenly minded. It will make us come away from the things of this world. It will make us hate sin. It will conform us to the image of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. But I just had a practical application of this tonight. I don't know whether you noticed in the verse that we read by way of the text, the two said, did not our heart, we might initially think that's a mistake or a mistranslation, because there are two people and therefore we would expect them to have two hearts, wouldn't we? But no, it's correct. Did not our heart burn within us? Because as the risen Christ, as the risen Lord Jesus, walked with them, as he opened the scriptures, as he spoke to them, not only did their hearts draw closer to him, their hearts drew closer to each other. So in the end they could say, did not our heart, one desire, did not our heart burn within us? Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And we know that we've passed from life, from death to life, because we love the brethren. I don't know about you, but over the last few months, we've heard so much about divisions and difficulties in Christian organisations that we've been involved with. We've heard so much about difficulties in other local churches, and we could almost become despondent with it. But we're reminded here tonight in this passage of the place of unity for the Lord's people. When the risen Lord Jesus Christ is with us, when we feel his presence, when our hearts are burning, then we're united. And the analogy is sometimes given, and I think it's a good one, of a bicycle wheel. And you know, in a typical wheel, as the spokes come closer and closer to the centre, so they come closer and closer to each other until they join there in the centre. And the analogy is clear, isn't it? As these two grew closer to the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, so they grew closer to each other. Did not our heart burn within us? Did not our heart burn within us? But then secondly, the longing for this experience. As the heart pants for the water brooks, so my heart longeth after thee. And I don't know how you feel, but we long to know more, don't we, of this experience? We long to know more of the love of Christ in our hearts. We long to have this burning. We long to know the power of his resurrection. And you know, you don't need me to tell you this, we don't learn these things in the same way that we learn things at school or at college or at university. We need these precious things applied by the Holy Spirit. It's only that that can transform our cold and backward and slow hearts into ones that are on fire with the love of Christ. Just an aside here, I think it's true that in all real religion you have three elements: the doctrine, the gracious experience, and of course our churches have always placed an emphasis on the experience, and then the practice, the practical outworking. Well, I don't want to spend too long on this, but it did strike me in meditating on this passage that we have very clearly here all three of those elements. We have, of course, the experience, the burning heart, the subject tonight, the experience of the love and presence of Christ, how vital that is. But then secondly, we have the doctrine. Their hearts were burning while he opened to them the scriptures. He began at Moses and all the prophets, and he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And so we should be very careful not to think of doctrine as separate from what we experience. We should be very careful not to think of doctrine as something that is dry or dull or detached in any way. It's the foundation of our most holy faith. So we have experience, we have doctrine, and then we have practice. In other words, we're back again to this point of the effect. of burning hearts, the effect of the love of Christ. I don't know whether it struck you, verse 33 here. The Lord Jesus had shown himself to them, he'd broken bread. Of course it's night. They'd invited the Lord Jesus in because it was night. But they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. 7 miles, uphill, all the way, night time. But what a journey that must have been. Back from Emmaus to Jerusalem. Their hearts were burning and they had a message. And this was their message, wasn't it? The Lord is risen indeed. What a journey that must have been, and what a reunion with the disciples there as they told how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." Well, we long for these things, don't we? There is so much more that could be said about this passage, really. These are just a few thoughts as we prepare ourselves to come before the Lord in prayer. But so much of the Christian walk is this desire, the prayer for a closer walk with the Lord Jesus, to be more like him, to know more of this, to be refined by his presence and by his power. And as I said, you know, we are, I think, very, very conscious, are we not, that these are not experiences that we can give to ourselves. These are not feelings that we can conjure up in our cold hearts. It's the work of the Spirit of the living God, taking the things of the Lord Jesus and applying them. And yet, as we come together tonight for prayer, we also have the promise that he's given to us. You know, the Lord Jesus spoke so simply when he was here on earth. And on one of those occasions, he said to the gathered crowd and to us down the ages, he said, "You know, you're sinful. And yet, you know how to give good things, good gifts to your children. How much more," he said, "shall your Father which is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" And as I've been meditating on this beautiful passage, this is my prayer tonight, my prayer for myself, my prayer for all of us here at Red Hill, that we might have hearts which are ablaze with the love of Christ. A heart that has been set on fire by the presence of the risen, now ascended and glorified Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. That will make a difference to our own lives. It will make a difference to our church. It will make a difference in our witness in this community. So as we come to a time of prayer, may there be a wrestling for this, among other things, that we, in our hearts and in our lives, might have the testimony that we have here. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Amen.